Every time Mother's Day comes along, I like to, make sure everybody's aware of the rule. No moms do dishes today. Amen, moms? So, we spoil our moms today because they spoil us the rest of the year, don't they? We're so blessed with moms. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to be moving around a little bit today, do something a little bit different, but Isaiah chapter 40. It's almost right in the center of your Bible, just a little right of center. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for, Lord, just this opportunity to get in your presence. Lord, to express our love to you through worship. And Lord, we are reminded of how it is your heart to help people. And so, Lord, it should also be our heart to help others in your name. I pray that you'd speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So like many of you, I was thinking about my mom a lot this week with this Sunday being Mother's Day. And I was just thinking about all that I appreciate about my mom. There's so many things that I appreciate about mom. I appreciate all the work she did to raise my brother and I. It's not easy raising boys, is it? And she worked so hard. She put so much energy. I don't think it's any coincidence that motherhood begins with labor, right? And continues, because mom's work is never done. I appreciate her work. I appreciate the unconditional love that she showed me over the years and still does. I appreciate all the encouragement. I appreciated the faith that my mom has modeled for me and instilled within me. You know, it was my mom's faith that really held our family together. Just her prayers and her belief in the Lord and just how that spilled over into our lives. And then I also appreciate about my mom her ability to comfort. My mom was always there to... I think only moms can comfort the best, don't you? Moms can just comfort. Dads, we're kind of different. We just say things like, get up, rub some dirt on it, right? Moms can comfort. She was there when I would be sick, when I would get those boo-boos. She would be there to comfort me when I had a bad day at work or a bad day at school. Just always there. And still to this day, I can call her up and she'll have just those words of comfort. You know, the Bible tells us as Christians to address God as our Heavenly Father. And so we should. He is our Heavenly Father. But did you know that there are also some passages in Scripture that speak of God's love for us and His comfort for us and His care for us in the same way that a mother cares for us, cares for her children, loves her children. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 13 says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So in many ways, if you look at the way a mom comforts and loves her children, in many ways, that's how God loves and comforts us. He's our Heavenly Father, but He still has that capacity to love us in a motherly way, in a very gentle and tender way, with very comforting words. So this morning, what I thought we'd do is just look at a few passages in Scripture that are known for comfort. Just looking at some words that God has used many times in my life to comfort me. And hopefully if you're here this morning and you're going through some difficult things, that you'll get that comforting word from the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 1. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, this was actually a passage that I looked at this last Wednesday night, and so it's really fresh on my mind, and it's just, there's some beautiful principles here. This word comfort, I looked it up in the Hebrew, it's nechama in the Hebrew, and the bare essence meaning of the word comfort is breathing deeply. Think of that. To be comforted is to be breathing deeply. The idea is, when you comfort somebody, you're causing somebody to breathe deeply. You see, sometimes people get very agitated. They get very upset. They get freaked out by circumstances of life. And a lot of times when you bring comfort to a person like that, you have to sit them down and you have to say, take a deep breath. Relax. Let me bring you comfort. That's the idea behind comfort. In verse 2, it says, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. Literally in the Hebrew, speak comfort to the heart. Use very, very gentle words. Be very tender. Use words like a man would use to the woman that he loves, or a mom would use to the children that she's raising. And so this whole idea of comfort is being able to speak very, very tender, loving, gentle, genuinely hopeful words to the heart of an individual that causes that person to breathe deeply, to be relaxed. Maybe you need words of comfort like that this morning. Well, I want you to know that God is an expert comforter. God can speak words of comfort to you if you'll open your heart to Him, if you'll listen, if you'll come to Him. There are some very comforting words right there in verse 2. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. God speaking to His people, hey, I know you're going through some tough times, but relax, take a deep breath. Your warfare is ended. Now, in the original context, this was God speaking to the people of Israel, who had just been delivered from either the Assyrians or the Babylonians. So they're entering into a time of peace. And He says, you can relax, you can breathe deeply, your warfare is ended. But these are very comforting words that I believe that God can speak to every one of us this morning because of the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross and His resurrection the third day. The Bible teaches that amazing things happen at the cross. The Bible teaches that we have enemies. Very specific enemies. One of our enemies is sin. We're all born with a sinful nature. We're all born with a natural propensity to sin. And 1 Peter chapter 2 says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Sin wars against our soul. Sin is what destroys us. It separates us from God. Bible teaches that the devil is also our enemy. There is a real Satan. He's not a legend. He's not a myth. He doesn't carry around a pitchfork. He doesn't dress in a red suit. He is our enemy. He wants to destroy. Jesus called Him the thief who comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. He's called the roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's our enemy. And then the Bible teaches that death is our enemy. Because of sin, there is death. Well, all those things were defeated at the cross. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And the scripture says that at the cross, Jesus Christ has taken away sin. And at the cross, Jesus Christ has defeated the devil. And on the third day when he rose again, he defeated death. He is victorious over death. And the Bible teaches that if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, if you ask him to be your Savior, all of your sins are forgiven. You are moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And you are guaranteed heaven when you die. Those that receive Christ have those promises. Those that don't do not have those promises, and you don't have that comfort. Now, the Bible tells us that the situation is this. Right now, we do live in a fallen world. We still feel the effects of sin, don't we? We still know that Satan is out there being active. We know that death still happens, but we also know that in the future, all those things are going to be done away with. And right now, as Christians, even though a little time must pass, we live and walk and breathe from the position of victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? And for us, it's just a matter of time. And so, Christian, no matter what you might be facing, I know life can get very difficult, but no matter what you may be facing even here this morning, you can hear those comforting words from the Lord that says, hey, your warfare's ended. There is victory. It is coming. Let's remember long term, Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Understand, this life is very, very temporary compared to all of eternity. And the comforting words from the Lord is, I'm taking care of you for eternity. You've won the war. There's going to be some tough battles to fight here. But your warfare is ended. And then that other comforting word that he says in verse 2. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Those have got to be the most comforting words that you can hear from God. All your sins have been forgiven. All your iniquities pardoned. And of course, all this, again, is only made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are gone. Think of it. All of your iniquity is pardoned. Now, you don't have to look very hard in yourself to find out, yeah, I'm a sinner, they're sinning me. And if you would think about all the things that you've done in your past, maybe even all the things you did yesterday, maybe the fight you got into on your way to church this morning, and you won't admit that to anybody. Maybe just this, we see that sin and how it permeates. But because of what Christ has done on the cross, God can say to us, all of your sins are forgiven. That is the most comforting thing. David said, oh, how blessed is the man who knows that his iniquities have been forgiven. So again, I would say to you, as a Christian, you may be going through a very, very difficult time. And no doubt, it's difficult. There are tough things that we face in this life, but it's so easy to get stuck in the mud of this life, in the grind of this life, and forget those comforting thoughts. Wait a minute, in long term, your warfare's ended. And all of your sins have been forgiven. You are born again. You're my child. I'm taking care of you both now and for all of eternity. We can always have those words of comfort, and they always lift us up. You might be here this morning and there might be a whole lot of sin in your life right now. You look back over your life and there's a whole lot of failure and there's a whole lot of things that you feel extremely guilty for. And there's a whole lot of things you say, if I could go back, I would change, I'd be different. And truth is, you wouldn't be different because you'd still have that sin problem. I want you to know this morning that you can have a brand new start by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day. And because of what he's done, all of your sins can be forgiven. You can have a brand new start. The rest of Isaiah chapter 40 is also very comforting. You might take some time to look at that. But I want to take you to another passage this morning, which I think is probably the most famous passage dealing with comfort. Look to the left in the book of Psalms and go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Anybody here this morning heard of Psalm 23? Pretty famous passage, huh? Let's read through Psalm 23, you know, as if it's the first time we're reading it. I'll read it, you follow along. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's that word. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that just a wonderful psalm? So much comfort in that psalm. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that think of Psalm 23 as a psalm for death. And that's because this is a psalm that's most often read at a funeral service. In fact, this is one of the most often read passages in all of Scripture at a funeral service. And I will tell you, it is applicable for a funeral service. I have preached from this psalm at many funeral services. It works very well. But I want you to understand something. This isn't just a psalm for death. This is a psalm for life. And yes, there's great comfort in this psalm for death, but there's also great comfort in this psalm for life. In this psalm, David is essentially bragging about having the Lord as his shepherd. He's boasting about it. He's rejoicing and in celebrating in all the blessings that he has just because he has the Lord as his shepherd. And I want you to understand, there's a lot of blessings that you enjoy in this life by virtue of having the Lord as your shepherd. David lists a whole bunch. Hey, listen, if the Lord is your shepherd in this life, you will get full, complete, and total satisfaction. Fulfillment and purpose in life. That's what David says there in verse 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Loose paraphrase, I've got the Lord, I don't need anything else. The Lord is my shepherd, I'm fine. I lack nothing. I am fully satisfied. I am fulfilled. When the Lord is your shepherd, man, it's the cake. Everything else in life is icing. You find absolute satisfaction just in having the Lord as your shepherd. Now, I look around our world and I find a lot of people unsatisfied. I find people trying to find satisfaction in all kinds of things, don't you? And there they are. They're out. They try to find satisfaction in money. They try to find satisfaction in career, in academia, in relationships. And they just go from place to place to place and try to find satisfaction. And they're always lacking. They're unsatisfied. I find a lot of people out there trying to find satisfaction in pleasure. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there that try to find satisfaction in things like drugs and alcohol. And not only do things like that not satisfy you deeply, they destroy you. They tear your life apart. I think one of the most chilling things I ever read was this. A police officer found the following typewritten note in a telephone booth. It read, "King Heroin is my shepherd. I shall always want. He maketh me to lie down in gutters. He leadeth me beside the troubled water. He destroyeth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of wickedness for the effort's sake. Yea, I shall walk through the valley of poverty and will fear all evil. For heroin art with me. Thy needle and capsule try to comfort me. Thou strippest the table of groceries in the presence of my family. Thou robbest the head of reason. My cup of sorrow runneth over. Surely heroin addiction shall stalk me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the damned forever." There's a man imprisoned. There's a man or a woman who tried to find satisfaction in something that can't give satisfaction, in something that absolutely turns to prison and destruction. Well, listen, when the Lord is your shepherd, you find what you're looking for. Amen? You find that purpose. You find that meaning. You might be here this morning thinking, "I've tried all this stuff and nothing's working." Well, listen to the comforting words of the Lord. He would say, "Hey, let me be your shepherd. I'll satisfy you. I'll fulfill you." When the Lord is your shepherd in this life, you get His guidance. Did you know that? He leads you. David said, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness." When you have the Lord as your shepherd, He becomes your personal guide. And He leads you into very pleasant places, green grass, still waters, the best pastures. Again, I look around in our world and I see a lot of aimless people. I see a lot of people that are just sort of wandering around in life. Here, I'll go this way. Now I'll try this. Ooh, we'll try this over here. Maybe I'll change this over. And they just, a lot of people, it's just aimless. Life is just, you know, rolling the dice. But I'm telling you, if the Lord is your shepherd, you get His leading. You need to understand, the Bible's very clear. The Lord cares about every aspect of your life. If you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Christ, if the Lord is your shepherd, He cares about what career's best for you. Young person, He would care about maybe what college you would go to. Single person, He would care about who you might marry. The Lord Himself will lead you in all of the major decisions of life. You get Him. You don't have to be aimless. And there's no question that the Lord, if He's your shepherd in this life, He will take you in paths of righteousness. He will keep you safe. He'll lead you on the path of holiness, which, by the way, is the safest path in life. Man, such comforting words. "Hey, I'll lead you. Let me lead you. I'll be your shepherd." If the Lord is your shepherd in this life, He will provide for you. He will take care of you. If the Lord's your shepherd, He takes ownership of everything. He will take you to the best water. He will take you to the greenest pasture. Verse 5, I love it, says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even in a tough spot, if the Lord is your shepherd and you're surrounded by enemies, He'll prepare a table for you. A lot of people are so filled with anxiety today over the economy and making ends meet. And I'll tell you what, if the Lord is your shepherd, you have His promise. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than them? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? How much do you worry about your clothing? Why? See, listen. If the Lord is your shepherd, He takes ownership over you, your life. Every aspect of your life. And He'll provide for you. You trust Him. Maybe you're, how am I going to pay this bill? Listen, go to your shepherd and say, Lord, how are you going to pay this bill? Lord, lead me. Provide for me. If the Lord is your shepherd in this life, He will protect you. Think about that. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have a 24/7 divine bodyguard. It says that He has a rod and a staff and that comforts us. The shepherd with the rod would beat away those wild animals that might come to take the sheep. And with the staff, you know the staffs, they have the crook. It's like a candy cane. What the shepherd would do is if a little sheep got out of order and got off the path, he could reach out with that cane and grab that little sheep around the neck, pull that sheep back on the path. Hey, you get back over here, buddy. And that's how the shepherd would protect his sheep. He could protect from the threats, the enemies, but he could also protect from the bad decisions that a sheep might make. Listen, I am so glad for the protective care of the Lord. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. He will absolutely bless you. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Listen, if the Lord is your shepherd, He will give you the good life. So many people are out there looking, I got to get the good life. And they try to find the good life in all these other things. Listen to what it says here. If the Lord is your shepherd, your cup runs over. He anoints your head with oil. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh, the Lord is your shepherd. He will be there for you in this life. He will also be there for you at death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I love that. Death for a Christian Death for somebody who has the Lord as a shepherd, it's not a valley that you stay in. It's a valley that you walk through. Think of that. So you're not, death isn't something you get stuck. It's a window you walk through. And I love it also says, the shadow of death. You know, for a Christian, death is a shadow. The Bible very plainly teaches that when a Christian, when somebody who's received Christ as Lord and Savior, the very moment that a person dies, they go into the very presence of Jesus Christ. And I believe that Jesus is there for his own when they die in a powerful, supernatural, awesome way. I've seen it. I've seen Christians breathe their last, and you can see peace. He will not leave you. He'll take you through. I mean, and, you know, if there comes a time in your life where you have to face death apart from Christ, let's say you never choose Jesus, I promise you, you're going to be tormented. You will be filled with fear. But if you have Jesus Christ as your shepherd, he'll be there for you. Our shepherd is there for us at death. The Lord is your shepherd. You have him for all of this life. You have him for the moment of death. And then look at verse 6. The rest of your life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, if the Lord is your shepherd, he's got you here. He's got you at the moment of your death, and he's got you forever. You will dwell forever in his house. Can you imagine the house of the Lord? And what he has planned for us. You can't. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That has always been an incredible verse to me. Because there's a lot of things that I can imagine. You know? There's a lot of things even in this world that you see that are so, it's so beautiful. But the promise of Scripture is that eternity, God will show us things that we can't even imagine today. Do you have the Lord as your shepherd? Do you have his comforting words? Are they real for you? I want to take you to one more place, this time the New Testament. Turn to 2 Corinthians in your New Testament. Another passage about comfort. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verses 3 and 4. Paul the Apostle says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's a very important verse when it comes to comfort. First, notice that God, Paul refers to God as the God of all comfort, who can comfort us in all of our trouble. And what makes this very impressive is when Paul wrote this, he was going through a very difficult time in life. In fact, look at verse 8. He says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure above strength, so that we despised even of life. That's Paul the Apostle speaking. He came to a point in his life where he despised even of life. This is a man of God. So this guy was, he was at the very end. But he found God there. And he found that God was the God of all comfort, and that God could comfort anything. And so God can. And I want you to know, even in life where you feel like the rug gets taken out from under you, and there are going to be times like that, but if you know the Lord, He will be there for you. He will get you through it. If you don't know the Lord, you're on your own. But you can have the God of all comfort. But the reason I wanted to bring this to you is because what are we supposed to do with that comfort? Did you see any responsibility for us as Christians here? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. That's a neat verse, because that sort of opens our eyes into the heart and the purpose of God. And even the purpose of pain. I mean, even as Christians, we go through these very, very difficult times. Like Paul, he said, I despised of life. And we go through these tough times. And what you do is you go to God and you find that He's the God of all comfort. And He comforts you in a supernatural way, which then makes you uniquely qualified to comfort others. And then you become an instrument of God's comfort to others. And so we see some purpose in those trials that we have. And we see some things that God is doing in this life. And folks, when God comforts us, we become qualified to comfort others in marvelous ways. You say, Terry, I don't want to go through any difficult things. I don't want to have to comfort anybody. A lot of people are like that. Lord, I don't want to grow up. If growing up means tribulation and tough times, and if maturity, then I just want to stay immature. Too bad. God's your dad. He's going to make you grow up. And He will do things in our lives that will force us to mature. And we will go through some tough things where only His comfort can get us out. And then what we do is we take all that we've learned and we go and we comfort others. We have a wonderful God. We have a wonderful shepherd. David in Psalm 23 was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." See, all these blessings, they only work for those who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." It won't work if you are here this morning and all you can say is, "The Lord is my mom's shepherd. The Lord is my grandma's shepherd." Well, that's true. He may be your mom's shepherd. And if so, she's blessed. But you're not under those same blessings until you can be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And how do you get the Lord as your shepherd? Very simple. You ask Him. Say, "Lord, I'm tired of trying to go at this life alone. I need a whole lot of help. Be my shepherd." And that starts by asking Jesus to be your Savior. By understanding why He came to the cross and died and rose again that third day. and admitting that you're a sinner and that you need to be forgiven, you open your heart to Him. Receive Him. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Have a wonderful celebration today of Mother's Day. Maybe some of you have come to church this morning just really to be with your mom. What an amazing thing if maybe the Lord has brought you here this morning so that He can become your shepherd, not just your mom's shepherd. The Lord becomes your shepherd when you invite Him. If you've never received Christ this morning, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now. Have the Lord take over your life. Just simply ask Him. Say, Lord Jesus, in the quietness of your heart, pray, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. Rising again that third day. I admit that I'm a sinner and that I need to be forgiven. So come into my heart. And help me to follow You all the days of my life. Lord, I pray that You would comfort each one of us in whatever trials we might be facing with those gentle, tender words. We entrust everything in our lives to You. In Jesus' name, amen.